Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. Zondervan.com. The NIV and New International Version are trademarks registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office by Biblica Inc. Scripture quotations marked NET are from the NET Bible, netbible.com, copyright 1996, 2019, used with permission from Biblical Studies Press, LLC, all rights reserved. This week's message is titled, Christmas is Spoken Here. Thank you to John, Don, and Dave for being involved in the service. There was a problem with the video recording partway through the Lord's Table talk, but the audio recording carries through to the end. This year, we won't be holding our regular Christmas Eve service. However, we're planning a special video project that anybody can be part of. Please check the description with this video for how to get involved. The scripture reading for this week is John 1, 1-14, and I'll be reading from the New English Translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. A man came, sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created by him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children, children not born by human parents or by human desire or a husband's decision, but by God. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father.
I'd like to welcome everybody on our Christmas Eve service will be canceled this year because of all the hassle with all the legal stuff, I guess. And too hard to do that. Earl's hurt his heel. And we'll pray that he gets back to normal soon. Gloria, of course, with her health problems, and Jim, we pray for them. I guess ongoing things for other people too. So, okay, we'll like to welcome everybody this morning. Sorry for my thing, but we'll start with a prayer, and then we'll go from there. Oh Lord, thanks for all the wonderful blessings you've given us. We truly have been blessed to have you as our God and to worship and follow your way. Lord, we pray for Jim and Gloria for strength. Lord, I pray for Earl for his healing. Lord, I pray you'd be with all those who are injured and sick and need your help. Lord, I pray that we can be sparkles of light in the lives of all the people that we meet, Lord, even amidst this time. Thank you for Jesus, and through him we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to have you with us today. Glad that you are here. And we welcome those who will be watching this, listening to this on Facebook and YouTube a few days from now. And we're grateful that you tune in on a pretty regular basis. We're grateful for that. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It's getting to the time of year when a lot of Christmas television shows will be taking place. My favorite has always been A Christmas Carol, starring Alistair Sim. No one played Scrooge better than him as far as I'm concerned. And in the story that you remember, he's visited by three ghosts. And the ghost of Christmas present was a marvelous character. He was this large man, and he was laughing and happy all of the time. And he takes Scrooge into what the ghost of Christmas present says, the bowels of the earth, down into the mines. And back in those days, it was men and women and children working in the mines, living in the mines. And they were dark and dirty and filthy, but they were singing Christmas carols. And the ghost of Christmas present said to Scrooge, "They know me." That even in the worst of circumstances, they could worship and find favor in God's eyes because of the birth of Christ. Now, I don't know what everybody's history has been when it comes to Christmas and church. I think in my fellowship growing up, I won't speak for anyone else, it was kind of, well, it kind of shifted. When I was a young boy, we would go to a church where there was a Christmas tree, lots of lights, and for the month of December at least, most of the songs that we sang had to do with Christmas, Christ coming into the world. And even as a young boy, I can still remember the feeling now, so many years later, of this joy, this happy church. And then my father became a full-time minister. We went to another church, and it was the same thing. There was this Christmas tree up on the stage, and the children could gather around it. And my father would preach a message about Christmas, and the children would receive gifts, always knowing it's the gift of Christ that is the greatest gift of all. And we anticipated those Sundays like maybe nothing else. It was a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And I got a bit older, and then I was interested in maybe following the preaching career, if that's what it's called. And I know I needed a lot of help, and so I went to a school in Indiana, and it was in Ohio rather, and I would go over and preach to this wonderful church in Indiana. They welcomed this young Canadian who didn't know much, but they were helping me to become a minister. And I got up on one Sunday morning and I started to talk about Christmas, and I could see from the front this was not the thing to do. And I had never experienced it before. People that when I would look out in the audience, every Sunday, they were encouraging me, they were welcoming me, they had smiles on their faces. They were wonderful, wonderful, godly, great people. But when I mentioned the word Christmas, their faces went blank. And I didn't understand that there were people who said Christmas and church should have nothing to do with one another. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. I don't know if that's ever been your experience, but it was mine. And I just knew, even when I was welcome back, not to talk about that. Christmas has a unique and difficult past. But I'm so glad that our elders, the leaders of our congregation, for as many years as I've been here, welcomes Christmas. the worship, the Mass of the Christ. Christmas, the worship of the Christ. And no matter how many years we've heard the story of the birth of Christ coming into the world, it's a wonderful time of year for most of us, if not all of us, to remember that Christ has come not only into the world, but into our heart, into our life, and a reminder of what that means and what we can say because of it, the witness that we can be because of him living inside us. So I don't think there's anything I'm going to say today that will be different than what you've heard before, but I think it's a reminder of the blessings that we have at Christmas. Even though the pandemic is here, we can be like those miners in the depths of the earth. We're going to sing Christmas carols. We're going to remember Christ coming into the world for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that means so many things. God so loved us as individuals. God so loves his creation. God so loves it all that he brought Christ into this world. And the birth of Christ, of course, is so unique. And I love that story where that ghost of Christmas present says loudly so that Scrooge will really get it, "They know me here. Christmas is spoken here." So let me continue on my journey through this trying, turbulent times over the years, trying to figure out Christmas and church and where we're at and where I'm at and everything else and what your experience has been. It was about a week before Christmas, Barb and I were ministering in Toronto, and I was visiting a couple that lived north of Toronto, and I was on my way home. It was a few days before Christmas, and as I was traveling home in the country, there was this big sign across a Christmas tree lot, "Christmas is spoken here." And I drove past it and I thought, well, that's a really interesting sign. And I don't know, I never do this. I stopped the car. I thought, I've never seen anything like that. Christmas trees are for sale. And they said, "Christmas is spoken here." Well, I turned around and went back. I wanted to hear what that message is. If Christmas is spoken here, what's it saying? Tell me what it is. What if Christmas is spoken here, what is spoken? So I drove back and I got out of the car, and the man that was there selling the trees, I said, "So what is it?" He looked at me like I had two heads, and he said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Your message says right there, Christmas is spoken here. What's the message?" And he said, "Well, Christmas trees are for sale." I said, "That's the message of Christmas? Christmas trees are for sale?" He said, "Well, it is important to me. If I don't sell these Christmas trees, it's not much of a Christmas for me." And I said, "Oh, okay, I get it, I understand it." And I thought about that when I got home, and I told Barb about that. Christmas is spoken here. And my sweet Barb said, "Yeah, and it needs to be spoken in this house too." Because sometimes as a minister, you can be so busy taking care of or trying to help other people or preaching this or preaching that, that she's at home with two little children back in those days. And she said, "Yeah, but it needs to be spoken here too." I got a message. This peace, this Christ coming into the world, this Christ coming into our lives, this Christ coming into our family, this Christ coming into the church, this Christ coming into the world, it needs to be spoken. It needs to be lived. And that's why at Christmas, no matter how many times we've had candlelight Christmas Eve services, no matter how many times we share the celebration of the birth of Christ, there's something always unique and new in Christ. It's spoken here. The message is true, The message is wonderful. It's full of grace. It's full of truth. And talk, as we've heard, the statement, talk can be cheap. But talk can be really rich when we get deep into what Christmas is all about. It doesn't need to be a confusing message. And it can be. I mean, if somebody had never really heard about Christmas and they just kind of walked through a shopping mall, all the messages, it would be so confusing. Buy these ribbons, buy these gifts, buy this, buy that, do this, do that, and I'm not dissing any of those things, but what's the message of it all? What's the message of Christmas? It's Christ coming into the world, coming into our life, and the celebration of that he is the light of the world. So again, when I was a younger boy, I was going to a church in, well, I won't even mention the place. They had a big Christmas tree out front, outside of the church building. And then when you walked into the church building, in behind the pulpit, there was this great big Christmas tree. And there was lights all over. And it was beautiful. And every Sunday, for at least a month, the message was the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. And what that means to each one of us, that he is the light in our life if we will allow him. So no matter how many years you have celebrated Christmas, maybe this year, because of a lot of difficulties going on in the world, we can just set some time aside to allow ourselves to be wooed and awed that Christ was born, that he came into the world for you and for me, the greatest gift of all. It's not cheap. It's not noise. It's not just some confusing message, like I heard about a little boy just recently who was in a department store with his mom, and all the Christmas shopping going on, and he sort of got lost or ran away to not be with mom shopping, and he went off to his own, and he went into the department where all of these televisions were for sale. And I guess he was a rascal. He turned on every television set, and he turned the volume up high on every television set, and he turned every television set onto a different channel. So all that was heard was noise. Lots of talking, but it didn't make any sense because it was all these TVs, all turned on, all the messages, and it was confusing, and it was loud, and it was irritating. Mom ran back, grabbed her boy, said, "We're out of the store." Because that can be not Christmas. It's not noise. It's that Jesus speaks to us in a powerful, powerful way. I know this is not typically a message at Christmas as this reading is concerned, but the more I thought of it early this morning, I thought it's a brilliant reading about Christmas. I read it to you. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these days, last days, in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And I stop for just a moment in the reading to remind us that Paul says in the book of Colossians that all things that were made by Christ as well as God. That Christ was with God in the beginning and created all things. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. So when we read the Christmas story and the shepherds out in the field and the angels all surrounding them, this great host of glory of God, praising the fact that this child has come. And the Magi, probably very significant people, who followed this amazing star. They followed it all the way and they come to a manger. But in all those stories, people had to welcome Christmas into their heart. The Magi could have said, I'm not going to follow a star. Why would I do that? Or a baby is born. Well, that can't be a son of God. It's a baby, for crying out loud. But no, we read the story. And people listened. And maybe at Christmas time, people do hear the message that Christ was born, not just into the world, but that he is born and can be reborn in our lives every year, even at Christmas. Yeah, there's a lot of noise that's going on. Talk sometimes is cheap, but it's the glory of the Lord, the light of the Lord. And even though there are some passages that we seldom use at Christmas time, in my mind is quite significant. Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus when he goes to his own church, his own synagogue, and he finds a passage of scripture that he wanted to find. It's found in Isaiah. And if you know Isaiah, there's a lot of talk about the Christ coming into the world. And Jesus looks for the passage. He finds the passage and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And I stop and I go back to the story of A Christmas Carol by Dickens. And the ghost of Christmas present takes them to the mines, the bowels of the earth, and men and women and children, dirty, working hard. They know him. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. True enough, there are a lot of poor people who don't know him. But there are a lot of poor people who rely on him every day, as we should be. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jubilee. Sins are forgiven. We begin again to see the glory of the Lord. Full of God's glory. The passage I like to read next, and I'm almost finished, is a passage that you know very, very well. A lot of Christmas is found in Old Testament, found in Isaiah, but maybe not this one so much, but I think it's powerful. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So if you watch the movie, A Christmas Carol, with Alistair Sim, the ghost of Christmas present is a huge man, and that his robe just kind of flowed down, not just on his body, but then down on his chair, and then all the way down to all this scrumptious food and all the gifts all around, and Scrooge was just like, couldn't take it all in. Here in Isaiah, it's the same thing. It's just, I mean, you can read it and just read it, but you can read it and put yourself in his shoes and go, how is this even possible? It's just an amazing event. Above him were these seraphs with six wings, two wings, and they covered their faces and they covered their feet, and with two they were flying back and forth, and they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, Holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And one day, the whole world will be full of God's glory. And we'll see it. And we'll be part of it. Because we know it. Because, like those boys and girls and moms and dads in the Ghost of Christmas Present reminded Scrooge, they know me. They know me. Let me conclude today by also reminding us that Christ is full of God's glory. And sometimes that can be missed. I don't know if you ever saw the painting, Marc Chagall, the famous artist with bright colors, blue and orange and yellow. And there's this picture of Abraham over the body of his son Isaac. He's lashed to a sacrifice, and the knife is raised above Abraham's head, ready to strike. But in Chagall's painting, he has angels rushing toward Abraham. And the angel's hand is moving to intercept so they would not kill his son. And in the corner, there is a ram caught in a thicket, almost as an afterthought. But also in the picture, you see a little hill called Calvary. And Jesus is carrying his shoulders. Abraham's son is spared. But in Chagall's painting, and the truth is, but the Son of God was not spared, so that you and I can be spared. Christmas is a beautiful time. Yes, it can be commercial, but anything can be commercial. I don't know why over the years things have changed even within churches. I remember as a little boy going into the church and there was a big Christmas tree and the lights and we'd sing Christmas carols. It was one of the happiest times in church I ever had. And then somehow it just became not. Don't talk about it. It's too commercial. But I don't think it's been very commercial here with us. It's a reminder for us over and over and over again. Christmas every year is a reminder of Christ has come into the world with joy, with singing, with angels, with light, and with love. May your Christmas be happy and bright.
The scripture that I looked at to prepare, it's interesting. It was John, the Gospel of John, first chapter. And the first, 14, 18 verses. Christmas is spoken. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. When you speak, what do you speak? Words. Doesn't matter what language you speak. There are some who sign. It's still words. The Word should be spoken. Christmas, the Word, there's a good connection here. Perhaps it's the time of year. Things are winding down in the plant world and farming and activities seem to slow a little bit with the cooler weather, the shorter days. there's a time of maybe dormancy, suspension, if you will, of growth. The vibrancy of life which once surrounded us is undercover. And yet we are all still surrounded by God's grace. I don't know. There are two different ways that I see grace. And one is, I'm alive. And how is it that I am able to see and appreciate the world around me, the blueness of the sky, the crunch of leaves under my feet? You can go on, and the world we live in is the grace of God. You are surrounded by it. You cannot help but see something, hear something, sense something of the grace of God if you are alive. We begin to think of the season. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And this season reminds us, as John tells us in his gospel, the simple fact that the Word became flesh. He lived among us. Jesus is God's message. Now, it's not a message that's contained entirely in a book. It were to those who may be given a vision or revealed to a few people in some kind of vision or message. God's message was human flesh and blood. Came and lived among us, faced hardships like we do, disappointments like we do, struggled with temptations, suffered human treachery, bled our blood, and died for us. God's ultimate message, His Word, is Jesus. God's message, God's Word, is Jesus coming in human flesh to live as one of us, to reveal God to us. This being alive made grace understandable, touchable, available to human eyes. Yet even in human skin and burdened with human mortality, God's glory could not be hidden. His unfailing love and faithfulness are revealed in Jesus. God Himself became touchable. God's message became real in Jesus, the Word. So we celebrate this grace of God. From the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for being allowed to recognize Your grace that surrounds us every day. We're thankful for the message, the Word, for Jesus, showing us how we are to be as Your people. Father, bless these simple elements, the bread and the fruit of the vine, the body and the blood of Christ, as it strengthens us in Christ's name, we pray. Thank you.
Lord, again, thank you for all the wonderful blessings you've given us at this time as we are about to be finished with our meeting. We thank you for what we've learned today. Lord, may we speak Jesus and speak Christmas to all those around us, Lord, and to take what we've learned today and take it further. Through Jesus we pray, amen. I'll read a part of a psalm in closing. For you, O Lord, are sovereign King over the whole earth. You are elevated high above all gods. You who have loved the Lord hate evil. He protects the lives of his faithful followers. He delivers them from the power of the wicked. The godly bask in the light. The morally upright experience joy. You godly ones rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks to his holy name. Amen.
The Beansville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beansville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beansvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.